Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 4,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 110 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
What's up, y'all? It's Jeff Cobb, and you're listening to Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show on Social Suplex Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show. Listener discretion is advised at all times.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show. My name is Ricky and I'm joined by Clive this evening. How are you, Clive?
I'm good, thanks. It's glad to be back on the airwaves.
It's good to have you back. It was a bit of a panic for me last week, but
you handled
it
very well.
I did an adequate enough job in terms of the uploading part, but yep. It's good to have you back.
I was proud of you last week.
Thank you. I was proud of myself as well, to be honest.
Just last week, though.
Yeah, that's fine. I thought the content last week was an improvement on what it normally is. Anyway, as promised on last week's podcast, we have a special guest with us tonight. I was hoping to get him on last week, but, you know, I'm not exactly a whiz on uploading and recording, etc., and editing. So we have a good friend and Phil and a listener of the podcast, Darren Cutby. Good evening, Darren. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. Thank you for having me on. Yeah, it would have been fun to come on last week, but I know you were a bit nervous about recording, so yeah, it's fine. Just happy to be on.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. Good to have you on. Obviously, we've had the Superstar Shake-Up the last couple of nights, but before we get sort of into that, we've also got the Glasgow NXT UK tapings this weekend as well. Myself and Clive are going to. We're going to touch on that a little bit. But before we get into the end of that, I just want to have a quick, brief chat and just get your views on WrestleMania and TakeOver and everything else that's happened before it. Clive, the floor is yours. You weren't here last week, so what were your thoughts, and did everything live up to your expectations, and etc., etc.?
I'll go for chronological order just for simpleness. I did enjoy TakeOver, despite there not being much build for a lot of the matches going in. Match of the night for me was Walter versus Pete Dunne. I was just blown away by that was a real battle. I think I'll always prefer Joe Coffey versus Pete Dunne, but that might just be national bias there playing in. But the brutality,
I think that is
the bias.
We're both massive Joe Coffey marks, uh-huh. But you know, that Dunne Walter match was one of the best you'll see this year, and by far my most favourite match of the year.
Yeah, it will be hard to beat because I've not seen such brutality like that. It wasn't even violent in the terms of blood or gore. It was just so hard hitting, and I really liked how Pete Dunne was able to fail the giant, so to speak. He did a few moves which was able to deal with Walter despite his bigger size than him. Just in that power bomb from the top rope at the end was crazy stuff. And the small character things that Pete Dunne was doing, such as when Walter kicked out of the bitter end, Pete Dunne was just hammering into Walter's head in frustration. Just small things like that. It's the small things that add up to make a match special, and that was definitely one of them. I did enjoy the Matt Riddle and Patrick Clark Velveteen Dream match. Probably Matt Riddle's best match for me. I'm enjoying him more and more. I thought it was quite fascinating to see his descent into frustration, being a bit cheeky with his offence and showing being a bit petulant as well. That for me is a lot more palatable than the bro stoner stuff. So I would be interested to see how that does going forward. The tag team matches, The tag team match and the women's title match was great, both of them. I might be one of the only ones that didn't really enjoy the title match, the main event. Ricky looks up at me, confused.
I before we let Dan give his views, my only issue that I had with the title match was that final fall was borderline kind of just too much. Like, I'm a big advocate of people not kicking out of finishers. I think that should happen on rare occasions.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt Adam Cole was just hitting big move after big move, and it was, yeah, like I said, it was borderline just that little bit too much for me. I felt, understand the story they were kind of trying to tell, understand, as I said last week, that final fall, that 20 minutes or so, was just kind of Johnny Gargano's NXT career in a nutshell.
Yeah, you could.
But I just felt it was borderline just too much.
I just thought that with the first fall, I mean, it was seamless. It was beautiful move after beautiful move. But it dawned on me after the first fall occurred, I'd glazed over. I wasn't actually paying attention to it, and it just felt, when I was trying to think back, it was as if it was emotion, like it was robots doing nothing but just going through the emotions. And I get the work rate was fantastic. No wrong foot was made. Just, it felt too, I know this is a stupid argument, but it just felt a bit too robotic and automatic. I thought the second fall was good. That seemed a bit more lively and emotional. And the third fall, as you were saying there, I mean, you could have fired a cannonball off in Johnny Gargano's face and he would have kicked out of it. So,
no, I felt that, let's say, the third fall, there were certain moments, even my head was in my hands, like, what the hell is going on? Like, why can't he put him away? Especially when Gargano beat down the other three members of Undisputed Era and comes back into the ring, and Cole hits him with two super kicks, I think it was, and the, is it Shining Wizard? And it was like, and he kicked out of that. Like, at that point, like, I was literally on the edge of my seat, and I was like, right, there's nothing else he can do now. But it was kind of, that was the facial expression you got from Cole. It was like, I can't put my weight in. It just looked like, I'm not going to win this. And he was in complete shock.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, how about yourself?
Yeah, with that match, I was a little bit more invested than it seemed that Clark was. I felt the first fall was a little bit too quick. Cole gave up a little bit too early, but obviously he could see why, because he wanted to save himself. But yeah, the only thing that I found wrong with it is like you said, Gargano looked too much like a superhero, fighting off all of the Undisputed Era, kicking out every single big move. But he was well deserved of being the champion, and it was probably, for me, the best match on the card. And you can understand why Dave Meltzer broke his WWE scale and made it the best match that WWE's ever had. And I think, if I remember rightly, Johnny Gargano's been in three of the top four WWE matches ever. So, yeah, it was a really good match. I liked also the tag match. I felt that was a great way to open the card, really excited. Mm-hmm. And a nice little send-off for Blackish Year. And then who were to know that it would also be a send-off for the Viking Experience?
Oh, don't start me in that.
Oh, we'll get there. That's horrific.
Yeah, we will be touching on that.
At the time, I probably thought it was maybe the second best NXT TakeOver I'd watched. But thinking back, it's probably about top five-ish. It was a really good, solid event.
There's still good company there.
Yeah.
I think I would probably still put, no, not probably, I would still put New Orleans at the top of my list.
Okay.
But I think then there's maybe two or three that are bunched right there.
Oh, yes.
And this is right in the mix of it. And it's just a case of, all right, what was your personal preference? I think for me, like I said, New Orleans was the one. And then there's two or three that I could, on any given day, I could say X, Y, and Z, this one was better. No, wake up the next day, I felt this one was better. So, yet another phenomenal takeover. just your quick thoughts about WrestleMania before we continue.
Darren, you want to go first?
Yeah, my first initial thoughts of WrestleMania was, for all the lack of build-up to a lot of the storylines and for how much they focused on the women's match, I felt that this was actually a really fun WrestleMania. It seemed really well-paced. The right people won the right matches. But all in all, I think it's going to be one of them WrestleManias where it was good but forgettable. There's not going to be many of the matches that you think, how should we watch that in 10 years' time? Obviously, there was the John Cena Bugonomics moment, which I absolutely popped like a champ for. Absolutely loved that. And then, obviously, you had Kofi winning, which I did not think they'd do because I obviously thought that they would have Seth win and then Becky win. I didn't think they'd go for all three having face champions, but we're the authority, so I suppose we ruled it. But yeah, it's a bit of a shame that Ray was injured because I'd like to have seen him have a better match with Joe. For me, it was a bit too long. They could have maybe, some of them matches didn't really need to be WrestleMania matches, to be fair. But all in all, yeah, I enjoyed the event. I can say I had a good time watching it.
Yeah, I think with the surprise of all three faces walking away with the big titles, it did leave a mark in terms of happy storytelling taking place. Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar was what it was. It wasn't my cup of tea, but I didn't really care. At the end of the day, what I wanted from that match was for the Universal title to be on a full-timer, so I'm more than happy with that. They've got lots of things they can do going forward for it with it, so excellent stuff there. The Kofi, it would be ignorant of me to, not even ignorant, so much has been said about the positive experience that this Kofi title win has had on everyone. So it's not for me to say, add more, I think it's already been said, but I do want to just talk about the match for a second. Daniel Bryan was purely focused on Kofi as a wrestler, nothing else. He didn't see skin colour, he just saw wrestling ability. And for Kofi to match him with the grapple game, with the strike game, countering Daniel Bryan's moves, that was an excellent story within the bigger story of Kofi finally getting to the top after 11 years of struggles. Both guys were phenomenal. Easily the match of the night for wrestling quality in a night where there wasn't much wrestling quality. And Daniel Bryan, he bumped for that final, what's the move called again? Sunrise.
What, Trouble in Paradise?
Sunrise. What am I talking about? The Trouble in Paradise move, Daniel Bryan bumped like a monster for that move, and he sold it so well. And you've got to think that Daniel Bryan, I said this a couple of weeks ago, but Daniel Bryan was pivotal in making this as special as it was, purely for the wrestling side of things. Hats off to both men. I personally, just seeing all the videos, the gifts of Kofi and the New Day celebrating in the ring, Kofi's family back home in Ghana, seeing it as it happens, it's really uplifting and it brings a tear to an eye occasionally. So I just want to thank Kofi personally for just having this calm happiness about everything that's going on with his side of the wrestling world just now. A lot of the matches were fun, as you say, Darren. The final match, a lot of noise was made about the botched ending. From what I saw, Becky Lynch was struggling to apply the disarmer throughout the whole match. She couldn't get it locked in, so the way I saw it was, she could only do it by pinfall. So I don't think it wasn't unplanned for what happened. I think it was going to be the crucifix pin, and it looked like Becky sort of shimmied herself a wee bit to get a bit more purchase of Ronda's arms. Ronda's shoulders came up accidentally. It fixed itself in the end. Okay, the ref, I don't know, it might not have had to happen, but it was just an accident of physics. I wasn't losing any sleep over it. So while we have our reservations, Ricky, about Becky as the character, I think the right person won on the night, because this has been building for months and months, so it culminated very well.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said last week. The right person did win. Yeah, so I would just kind of echo your guys' thoughts. I thought it was a fun pay-per-view. Maybe the only things I'd probably go back and look in 5 years from now or so I'd probably go back and see the Seth Brock, because I felt Heyman's promo was just excellent. I thought it was an excellent way to kick off WrestleMania. And I would go back and watch Daniel Bryan and Kofi. But yeah, overall, like you said, just a fun, well-paced show. The Cena comeback was unbelievable. I loved that. But yeah, it was fun. And that now brings us to... We're going to talk about the NXT UK tapings, but I'll leave that after this, because since we're just kind of going to segue into this now. So, the Superstars shake-up. I mean, let's just get the first one out of the way, shall we? The Viking Experience. Now, my thoughts on it is... I don't see why you would kind of need to always... I understand that when someone comes up to the main roster, you kind of want to make one or two little changes, but for the most part, just keep them who they are and continue kind of doing what they're doing. There was just no need to change their name. Am I in a couple of months' time, am I going to be worried or concerned or still thinking about it? Probably not. For every shitty name they've come up with, there's people like Cesaro. Like, we don't miss the... What was it? Antonio says it. Was it Antonio?
Yeah, Antonio.
So, like, we don't miss that anymore, but I think I'll forever miss Andrade CM Almas. I felt that name was just perfect. I'm still not used to Andrade. And this will probably be the same. It's not going to turn me off them. It's just like, it's more so, why do you feel we need to tamper or to try and mould them into something or change them so much from what was working before? And it is, for me, kind of a horrible name, but in a few months' time, I'll probably just forget about it. But I think the bigger issue for me is, why do you feel the need to change so much about so many people coming up from NXT?
Yeah, I think with the name War Raiders, it's Vince worried about his sponsors and the licensing of the fans chanting war, war, war on Raw. So I can understand that the war bit needing to go, but why not just call them the Raiders? Why the Viking Experience? It makes them look like the cosplayers.
It really is a bizarre one. And as you say, you've got the Raiders. You could think of a dozen or so different names that would be a lot better than the Viking Experience. But I think the outrage on Twitter has been a bit OTT. I don't know about you guys, but every second tweet I see, there's a parody of Experience, and maybe they do deserve it, but there's people that are just beside themselves with rage over this name change. And my worry is, why were they needed up on in the first place, especially when they're still the NXT Tag Champions?
Yeah, Twitter getting outraged is absolutely nothing new. They get outraged over absolutely anything.
I know. It's just something new.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the real disappointing things is that they're now going to drop the NXT titles. So, and like you say, who's there? Is there anyone in NXT at this moment in time who feel confident is ready to step up outside of, you know, Undisputed Era and a couple of other things? But It's a big blow to the NXT tag division. A real big blow. Yep. And in terms of the Twitter outrage, like I said, people get annoyed about the simplest things these days. I can get why they're annoyed about it, but like I said, I feel in a couple of months' time we're kind of just going to brush over it. Yeah, for me, like I said, Matt, like I said before, for me it's why do you feel the need to modify so many people in their images and everything when they come up from NXT.
Mm-hmm. Just yeah. Stick to what you've got. I don't see what the problem is. I'm still hurting after Mustafa Ali lost his first name. That's I'll never get over that.
That'll be another one that I probably won't get used to.
Probably. I make a point of trying to say Mustafa in all my tweets when I'm talking about him, just so at least I don't forget. I will admit that I do say Andrade on its own now.
I don't. I always say Andrade Almas. Still say, or I'll just say Almas.
Yeah, I refer to him as Almas.
It's going to be difficult, I think, with that one. I'll just quickly run through everyone that came up then or moved over to Raw. So we had AJ Styles, The Miz, Ricochet and Aleister Black were confirmed for Raw. War Raiders, Andrade Almas with Zelina Vega, Rey Mysterio, The Usos, Naomi, EC3, okay, Lacey Evans, Eric Young, and Clive, Cedric Alexander.
What would you like me to say about Cedric?
I'll put it like this. I feel a lot more confident in Buddy Murphy being utilised better than I do Cedric Alexander. I think Buddy Murphy's the far better wrestler. I think Cedric Alexander's going to get lost in a shuffle quite quickly,
which is a shame. However, he's never been a favourite of mine on 205 Live. He's had some good matches, but there are some who he doesn't have a chemistry with, and we saw that last night personally with the Oney Lorcan match, another one that just seemed as if it couldn't get out of second gear. He has had really good matches with Leo Rush, Nice, Itami, even Murphy to an extent, but I felt as if Buddy Murphy had a chemistry with almost everyone, like throughout the entire roster for 205 Live. Cedric, I think there's a place for him for the sort of 7, 8, 9 minute matches on Raw that don't really mean much, that he's either used as development for the opponent that he's facing in their character arc, or he gets some sort of push, or he gets a ladder match or something. The way things are going, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in a tag team with someone. So, just personally, it doesn't really faze me. I can't see it working out for him, though, overall, long term.
It just seems to me that 205 has literally been raided.
Yep.
Because they've obviously lost Itami not that long ago, and now they've lost obviously Mustafa Ali and now Alexander and Buddy Murphy. But they've not seen a lot of replacements. Obviously, we've had Humberto floating between NXT and 205, and then we've obviously had Oney Lorcan as well. But that's four pretty big stars on a small roster, all gone, and I think I'm hoping it's not the writing on the wall for 205. Yeah. I'm hoping that they soon sign someone new, or at least put someone new into 205. That's why I was quite shocked that Kushida actually signed for NXT over 205. I think Kushida being in 205 would have put a lot more eyes on that product.
Right.
Maybe switch a couple more players down to there. Even someone like Gargano could have spent a bit of time in 205 and really put a lot of buzz on the product. But yeah, it just seems like it might be going the way of the dinosaurs.
Yeah, I got into not a heated argument, just a discussion with quite a few people on Twitter today about it. And you know that I do love my 205 Live, but I'm not sure what the future is, because there was also in that list, you can add TJP, Noam Dar.
Gulak.
Well, Gulak's still there. Just the numbers have depleted significantly.
Oh, sorry, people who are not right, okay, sorry.
Yeah, people who've left or been sacked or whatever. So it's struggling, and I don't see how that's going to change going forward. But we'll see what happens.
Unless, like I said, is what we said a long time ago, what they should do is they should put them down at Full Sail.
Mm-hmm.
I think that crowd will appreciate them. Not only will they appreciate them, I feel like that will put more eyes on it as well. And for 205, you don't exactly need like this huge roster, but you just kind of need to supplement the people you've lost, because those four that you've named are probably alongside Neville the four biggest names they've probably had on 205. Especially three of them, I think, anyway. But I think the end could be near. But I think the end could be near in the sense of what we know 205 is right now. I think it could end up heading to Full Sail. Letting all these guys go and not bringing other people in doesn't make much sense.
Mm-hmm.
you kind of, you're going to have to do something. Whether they look to bring people up from NXT or just bring people in off the indies or something, I'm not entirely sure, but you've got to do something, because like I said, too many, a lot of people enjoy it, there's a lot of good wrestling as well, some great wrestlers have been there, are currently there, that you just can't let this brand die off in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's probably the best pure wrestling product that WWE put out.
Possibly, yep.
It's just not supported enough, unfortunately, by people inside WWE, and obviously that shows with the fans. I think the move to Full Sail would be absolutely superb for it. That NXT crowd would lap it up.
They would.
And then you've also got the crossover from the NXT guys and the 205 guys. It makes it much more easy to be able to pull that off rather than only Loken having to like shift from Full Sail to wherever they're filming SmackDown that day. So, yeah, I think that hopefully that move will be on the cards, because being with that SmackDown crowd, they're just not interested in that product, whether they're tired from a full SmackDown show or whatever. And it shows through when you watch 205 that the crowd are just not invested.
No, sometimes they are, but it takes them a while. I think talking about Buddy Murphy, I think he has a bit of a head start ahead of Alexander, because he's had this video that went a wee bit viral with Velveteen Dream over WrestleMania weekend, and I think it will be on NXT TV tonight, where it's Buddy Murphy versus Velveteen Dream for the North American title. So easily a lot more people watch NXT compared to 205, so more people will know a bit more about Buddy Murphy. But I hate it when they say, for those who don't know who I am, like, how many times can you say that without WWE doing something in the first place to make sure you do know who they are? And it's just, it's a bugbear.
The thing what irks me the most about it is when you get to like big shows like WrestleMania, SummerSlam, it's the cruiserweights that put on the best show consistent, the best match consistently.
Yep.
And it's just sad that they're being treated this way.
I know. I have a purple tear falling down my face right now.
So other people I wanted to touch on. I felt, like I said, the Usos dropped the titles last week to the Hardys. It was kind of, I think we all kind of realised, right, okay. At the time that happened, my initial reaction was like, why? And then you're like, oh, wait, because I'm moving to Raw. Right, okay, so it makes sense. I'm just... Andrade Almas. Oh, I hope, and I suppose we'll touch on this later on, I was really hoping that when he came down and took on Finn, it would be for the Intercontinental title, and I was really hoping he would win it. Finn obviously went over to SmackDown. I'm expecting Joe to lose a US title at some point in the next couple of weeks, probably to Braun. But I think it's time that we treat Andrade Almas like an absolute superstar. Del Rio was great for them. Ray's always been great, but this guy has the potential to really to take it to another level, like a whole nother level, especially in comparison to Del Rio. I'm hoping he starts to get treated well. We'll see. That's the one person that moved over to Raw that I'm really hoping that they make it work for him. AJ Styles. We're going to eventually get AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins at some point. I'm not sure if anyone picked up on it, or maybe I was just seeing things, but a post-match when they were celebrating Seth, AJ and Roman, AJ was kind of, I don't know if he was just maybe looking up at the rafters or he was looking wherever, but it almost looked like he had looked and glanced at the Universal title that Seth was holding. I don't know if maybe that was just a planting of the seed or what, but I think at some point those two are going to clash, and I look forward to that especially. Not sure when. I think I wouldn't do that straight out the gate, if I'm honest. I'd kind of delay it if I could.
Who would you have to face Seth first?
At Money in the Bank? I think it kind of needs to be
Big Drew.
I don't think you're going to expect anything, because when is Money in the Bank? What day is it? I think it's not like 2 or 3 weeks away.
I'm not quite sure actually.
I don't think you're going to get much of a build, because you've kind of lost these 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So Money in the Bank is May 19, so we're looking at. So yeah, we could get a bit of a build. It's just 3 weeks on Sunday. It'll be, sorry, 4 weeks on Sunday. So we could, but I don't think it would Drew. I can maybe see Drew being a SummerSlam one to maybe eventually take the title from Seth, and you could do, maybe you could do AJ Seth at Money in the Bank, or you could do the one after that. We'll see. But I do think all roads will eventually to Seth versus Drew, though.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Drew's that the big bad heel on Raw now. So yeah, I think wasting him on a match that Seth's going to obviously win, he's not going to lose his first defence, or wasting that big feud on something like that is not what I can see WWE doing.
I think AJ's a good call, but they might have the old tag match or tag match against each other on Raw, but I would save that for one of the big four, most definitely. If not WrestleMania, then go for SummerSlam. That's a good SummerSlam match right there.
And the other one, just want to see what you are thinking, Lacey Evans.
What are your thoughts on Lacey, Darren?
From what I saw about in NXT, she was good, but I wouldn't put her anywhere near like being the level of the likes of Becca. I think there's a lot more women on that roster that are way more deserving of a title shot, but it makes for a good first defence for Becky, where she can come out of it looking pretty strong. Lacey will obviously get the rub of being like going one-on-one against the man. So I can see the sense in the match. It's just not something I've been personally looking forward to.
Uh-huh. I think, as you said, she was not too bad in NXT. She had a good trilogy with Kairi Sane, if I remember correctly. And with how strongly Rousey, Charlotte and Becky have been booked over the last few months, I think they need to do some sort of damage control. And while there have been wrestlers, or there are wrestlers who might be more deserving, I think it's not the worst choice to have boost someone. And with Lacey, you've got someone who's completely opposite in their ideals from Becky. So it's one of those when opposites collide type thing. And I think it's getting people talking. A lot of people hate Lacey. They might not be happy with how she's been just walking up and down the ramp for so long, but she's taking the gloves off now. Maybe she'll take the heels off so she can have a brawl without the danger of slipping, like Bambi. But she's not my favourite. I don't stand for her or anything like that, but I think it'll be quite interesting. And there's always that, what's going to happen with Becky with the two belts, because she can't hold on to the two belts forever, surely.
No, there's way too many women on both rosters for Becky to be able to be the champion on both shows. I suspect that she'll drop one of them sooner rather than later. And I don't think they'll also do a unification of the titles, because there's too many women to be all gunning for one belt.
Yep.
Yeah, the thing with Lacey Evans, my only thought initially was, this was before people started saying, I'm coming after this belt and this belt, etc., was that if we're led to believe that they're very high on Lacey Evans, you can't have her go out and lose her first big feud or her first feud, but you can't have Becky losing the titles straight away. But like he says, she'll need to drop one, and I think Lacey Evans will win the Raw title.
Ooh,
that's bold. A bold prediction there.
You know, my only thing is that if they are high, because we don't listen to reports, we don't pay attention to none of the dirt sheets or nothing. Everything I see, I take with a pinch of salt. At the end of the day, I'll see what's on TV with, and I'll watch them all in two eyes, and I'll make the assessment. Now, that was her first match, was it not?
Proper.
On the main roster.
Yeah, I think
so. But she's been featured heavily. Yeah. Even if it's just to come out and wave or come out and just look and pose and then walk away, she's been getting a lot of airtime and at crucial moments as well with other big names around. So I think they'll go all in with Lacey Evans. Her moonsault is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I think it's just a kind of wait and see approach. Like you say, there's a lot of women there, and I know they've kind of made a couple of new tag teams as well. And we'll touch on that later once we get to the SmackDown side of things. But yeah, like I said, I think it's too much to ask of Becky to go from show to show, because one of the belts are ultimately going to suffer because she can't possibly pull double duty at every single pay-per-view, mm-hmm. as well as every single Raw and SmackDown, and build up two feuds at the same time.
That's overkill, so, and overexposure.
It is. And I know a lot of people are already not happy that she's constantly on the TV. Shout out to Carl. So it makes sense that she is going to drop it, and I think, for me, they seem high on Lacey Evans. And then she could be the face of like the Raw brand, and you would still have Becky and Charlotte could still do their thing over on SmackDown.
Naomi's over there as well now on Raw. Do you see her doing anything of note?
I like her. I know a lot of people are not high on Natalya. I've always liked Natty. I'm trying to think who else is over it. Don't really know what's happening with Alexa Bliss. Is Bayley? I need to go back and look at my list, but Bayley's on SmackDown now.
She is.
Nobody knows anything what's happening with Sasha.
She's AWOL. She's having swingers parties with the Kalisto family.
So, I think there's enough talent on Raw to have good matches, I think. Because at the end of the day, you don't need it to be 12, 13, 14, 15 deep. You just need to have, about 4 or 5 kind of...
Yeah, that's enough.
...upper echelon type talents, and I think they do have enough.
Yeah, to just go against that, though, I think we've had the shake-up and SmackDown have got a lot of good female talent over there. I think, personally, Becky's probably more needed on Raw than she is on SmackDown. SmackDown's women's roster is a lot better now than Raw's is, so I can see her actually dropping that SmackDown title and staying as the Raw champion.
Uh-huh.
Just to come back down there, my only thinking for Becky to drop the Raw one was because I don't see them having Lacey go out and lose her first feud, because it's not also a good look for Becky, but Becky still has the other title. I still think, probably not now, but I always felt that going with the two titles are ultimately going to lead to like an all women show, like whether it be like the third ever of SmackDown or whether it be like the third hour of Raw, just have them all on one show. But I don't think that will happen now. Maybe it will, and they're just kind of keeping it close to their chest, and they'll pretend that this is an actual shake-up for the women as well, but ultimately they're all going to end up one show. But yeah, I still think that's a lot for Becky to do, and ultimately then you would need to unify titles if they all go to one show.
Mm-hmm.
I think SmackDown's women's roster is a lot stronger.
Yeah, I think Becky being on Raw makes a bit more sense, as Darren was saying. You've got quite a star-studded woman set of women on the Blue brand. You've got Ember Moon, Bayley. You've still got Asuka there. You've got Charlotte. You've got more than enough people there that could carry the brand. And
Kairi Sane.
Oh, okay.
No, I wouldn't say carry the brand, but she's still good in the ring, though.
she's all right in the ring. She's a bit overrated, personally. However, it looks like they'll be gearing towards the tag team titles for the foreseeable anyway.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good. It's some good old-fashioned Vince McMahon, let's stick the Japanese people together, though. As per.
With a mouthpiece.
Uh-huh. Aye, with a mouthpiece, exactly. But the... With Becky loses the SmackDown title and she goes over to Raw, I think that makes more sense. And possibly, although Alexa Bliss won the Money in the Bank briefcase last year on the same night that she won the that she cashed in, I think they might do an early cash in again for the woman with Money in the Bank coming up. Maybe not straight away, not on the night of Money in the Bank, but let's, for talking sake, say Becky beats Lacey Evans. And then a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, someone from the SmackDown brand challenges for the one of the blue belt, and she loses it that way. Say it's a cheap shot. There's quite a few there you could choose. I'm not sure. From a singles competitor point of view, who's a heel? I don't know. I'm looking at it. I can see Mickey James popping in there, sneaking about.
Charlotte,
yes, getting her own back. That would be good, actually. So maybe keeping her on. Although you've got Fox coming up, you want your big stars on it. They do have a lot of big stars already, so Becky to Raw once the dust has settled, I would say.
And I'll let Darren chime in as well, but two more points. At some point, Shayna's going to come up as well. That has to happen. Obviously, it has to, and it will happen. It's just a case of when and who is the one that's ultimately going to dethrone her down at NXT. But I think the real question mark in is Sasha. What is going on with her? And ultimately, if she does come back, or she is going to come back, you'd assume, where does she end up? I think she'll end up on Raw. I'd put her on Raw. And I think you have a chance to... She could be like the face of that women's brand over on Raw. And I know, especially me and Clive, I'd say some things like she's not as maybe as good as she used to be, and she makes a fair amount of botches, but that could all be coupled down to the fact that depression or if she, I don't know, some sort of if she, I don't know, sorry, I shouldn't say depression, but just kind of overthinking things or not being happy and allowing things to get to you and just suffering from that kind of thing. So I think Sasha, more than anyone, is the kind of joker, is the ace in the pack, and it's like, where will Sasha end up? I think that's huge.
What do you think, Darren?
Yeah, I think Sasha will end up staying on Raw. The thing, obviously, with all the stories that have come up with Sasha, it almost kind of looks like she's been checked out of wrestling for quite a while, because she's obviously not been trusted to keep a title for more than a one defence. So yeah, I can see why she's upset. But if WWE are willing to, like, just give her the ball a little bit and run with it, she is probably the best female wrestler actually on Raw. When she kind of reminds me of Randy Orton, when she's got something to sink her teeth into, she's top quality.
Yes.
With regards to Shayna, I think the reason why they're keeping Shayna down at NXT is to just wait for Shafir and Duke to be ready to move up.
Probably.
I think they're all going to move up as a unit. Then obviously we've got Ronda who's out for however long making babies and fixing her hand.
not at the same time, I hope.
So I think Shayna and Duke and Shafir will come up, and then we'll get Ronda back, and we'll end up eventually getting four horsewomen versus four horsewomen. But it's that'll now depend on whether they can keep hold of Sasha and keep her happy, and the way to do that would be to put her into a prominent role on Raw. And right now the rosters have been managed that she can do that. I know we had Bayley who went to SmackDown and said she was there for singles competition, so it's likely that Sasha's not following her. So, yeah, I think Sasha could be the perfect foil for Becky on that Raw brand.
Yeah, you've got a good point about her. When she's got something to sink her teeth into, she's better. Excuse me.
I think, you know, like we just kind of harken back to her days in NXT and how great of a heel she was. And for me, I've always liked Sasha, but as a face, it's always just been like, oh, okay. I would love to see them let her just do what she used to do, bring back the kind of the boss, the actual boss gimmick she had in NXT, and just see how it goes. I said, if you want to keep her and you want to keep her happy, then this is what you need to do. And to touch on the Shane, I think, sorry, Clive, was, now, I don't know if it was in our WhatsApp group or it was one of the messenger groups that someone mentioned that as well, that the idea, they think that they're going to bring them together, but the other two are holding Shayna back, and that's, I think, going to have like a long-term effect on it as well, because Shayna's more than ready to come up just now. I wouldn't say she's lingering on NXT at all. I think she's still doing great things, but I have real reservations about the other two actually getting up to scratch.
Yeah, I agree. I think Shane has been ready for a long while. The good thing is down there that she's still got like a feud she can go with through Io Shirai. But I think if Shane comes up on her own, there's no reason to keep Duke and Shafir around, because their wrestling is comical. It's absolutely comical.
See, I think what they're doing with Shayna is, you had it with Bayley, you had it with Finn to an extent, and you had it with Asuka, where it's as if they're the locker room leader of their respective divisions, and maybe, just maybe, they've not got that correct opponent who's ready to take the title off them yet.
Man, they had it in Bianca Belair, in my opinion, or they still have it.
I hear people say that she's green, but I don't see it myself.
I think they've got the perfect person in Candice LeRae if they just let her stop being...
Well,
Mrs. Wrestling.
We actually spoke about that, remember, when we had our questions submitted, and it was Candice, we say, was the one that was most underutilised. Like you say, for too long now, she's just been Gargano's wife, and not been Candice LeRae, and Candice LeRae the wrestler is pretty damn good.
Very good.
So, you know, if they want to run with her, they can. And I think maybe now they might actually get out of the persona of her just being Gargano's wife, now that kind of Ciampa's like cut out of action. Maybe now we can stop referring her to as that, and she might not feature as much as in Gargano's storyline. Because, like I say, talent-wise, you know, she really is excellent.
Aye, see the whole thing with Gargano having these match of the weekend contenders every single takeover. Candice LeRae could do that as well, especially with Shayna Baszler. I mean, I think that's a... I just don't know why they've not used Candice LeRae as much as they could have by now. Baffling.
Definitely. I've seen some of the matches that she had when partnering with Joey Ryan as the world's cutest tag team, and that girl is brutal. She can give an ass whooping, and she can also take an ass whooping. So, yeah, it's a waste of great, great talent in NXT there, and hopefully she can come out of this Gargano shadow and really make a name for herself.
That's bizarre.
Yep. Is there anyone else at Draft Over the Raw you want to touch on before we get to the SmackDown side of things?
Yeah, Eric Young.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Sanity had the potential to be huge, absolutely huge on main roster. They were amazing on NXT, and now they've broke up with a whimper, and we're obviously hearing rumours of that Alexander Wolf maybe on his way out, or he maybe going back down to NXT. What an absolute waste of a brilliant, brilliant faction.
Ricky?
Yeah, I heard Wolf is going back to NXT.
I also heard that as well. To WXW as well. So there's rumours going around that he's probably on his way out.
Well, speaking of people on the...
There's so many like that, you know, and at some point I get it's someone's going to miss out on their spot and they're going to be unhappy. So it's kind of like you kind of just need to try and choose who you want to elevate, because you're not going to get everyone up to where they want to be, and I think it kind of just comes back to how damn bloated the entire roster is.
Yeah,
you know, like we've said, for Clive says for low so long, and he's like says just cut down on the fat. And I said it's fine. Could we want to say the holding people or whatever? It's fine bringing all these people in, but you need to bring them in and have a purpose and have a long term plan for them. And like I said, there's too much there. And he's one of them. And obviously, Luke Harper as well has requested his release. And he was another. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, well, he's going to, obviously, as soon as anyone gets released or becomes a free agent or is unhappy, they'll immediately get linked with AEW. But for me, Luke Harper, he's not going to be like a great loss for me, I think. And we say in our WhatsApp group, I think what the thing is, they're not losing out on anything that Luke Harper currently is, but what they could be missing out is what Luke Harper could have potentially have been.
Yep.
And we kind of saw that, was it like 2 years ago when we had that Orton Wyatt Harper thing, and like everyone kind of got themselves worked up thinking, oh my god, Luke Harper's going to be in the title match at WrestleMania. And actually should have been. And he pulled an absolute sensational match out of Randy Orton, and that was the first great match Randy Orton had in years. So, like I said, I think they're going to miss, like I said, what he potentially could have been. But if he goes on and tears up elsewhere, people are going to turn and say, oh, look at that, they dropped the ball with him. Like, no, there's just so many people currently on the roster who are better than him at this moment in time.
Yeah, and I also don't think he actually fits in with the signings that AEW have made so far. He doesn't just scream to me that he's an AEW kind of wrestler.
Uh-huh. It's quite, personally, as a loss, I've always enjoyed Luke Harper. And I'll say till the day I die that the match that he had with Drew with Dolph Ziggler on either Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve after that TLC ladder match they had for the IC title was the better match. So you need to check it out on the network if you can. But it was sad to see him go. I had a great match with Dijakovic on Worlds Collide this last week there. However, I feel strongly that we're at a stage where natural attrition is a must for WWE. If nobody's getting fired and if people aren't happy, they should go, because realistically they might not get a shot if they stay anyway. So if they want to go, go, make yourself happier in life, sign for AEW, sign for MLW, wherever you want to go, be happy, and that frees up space slowly but surely for the people who are going to stick it in and stay as much as they can.
Yeah, so moving over to SmackDown. Clive, I know you had something you wanted to say, so I'll let you take it. You've got Finn Balor over there with his IC title, and you also have Joe, Small Joe, with his US title. Floor is yours.
Well, it was going to be a bigger floor, because at first I thought both the mid-card titles were on SmackDown and both the tag titles were on Raw, and then I had to be reminded that the Hardy Boys were the tag champions in 2019, so that shot my argument in the foot a wee bit. With Joe, before you came on air, Darren had some gossip to tell us about Joe, so the floor is now yours, Darren.
Yeah, I'll take this with a shot of penicillin rather than a pinch of salt.
Aye.
But the rumours that I've seen floating about was that Joe was actually meant to be on Raw this week to switch over, but he had a really bad case of flu, and it's likely that he's going to be switching over next week. So there's still going to be a mid-card title on each show.
All right. So Joe's going over, right?
For the first time, he's going over.
I'd be all right with that. I'd be all right with that. I thought Braun would take a title from him, and that's how they would switch it over. Because remember last time? Was it last year when they done it straight after WrestleMania as well, and they still had a couple of feuds they were trying to kill off. So, and it was still kind of like inter-brand matches. So I'm on board with that. You can get Seth and Joe. You could go Joe versus, if you wanted to go Drew or whoever you wanted to go. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Trying to think what else is on SmackDown. Obviously, you've got the biggest acquisition in SmackDown Live history. Elias moving over to SmackDown.
As soon as that happened, you just knew they were trolling. You were kind. And Elias has been the last few weeks. How I remember when it was whoever interrupts me is going to be a dead man. Taker comes out, and then he had the Mysterio reference as well. And as soon as I was watching promo, and as soon as he mentions Reigns, I was like, all right, here we go. Here comes Roman. I think we all knew it was going to be Roman. I know some people felt it might have been Brock. Yeah, man, Roman, there's a lot of fresh feuds for Roman there as well.
Yeah.
Roman versus Bryan, if you wanted to run that again. Roman versus Nakamura versus Orton versus Kofi, if you wanted to do that, versus KO, if you want to turn them heel. KO, that is. So, yeah, makes sense, especially with the Fox deal coming up. Like I said, more than anything, it's just a number of fresh feuds for Roman as well.
Speaking of Kevin Owens, he's up to something, isn't he?
And Caleb said that it'll be a slow turn for KO, and like I said, as soon as you're seeing these kind of things, you're kind of like, right, when is KO going to turn on him now?
This will be a Festival of Friendship 2.0, I think.
I think, as long as they've still realised what they've got in Kevin Owens.
I hope they do.
I think they do. Because I know it's not... It might not be what we want them to be doing at the moment, but he's still getting a lot of airtime at the moment.
Yes.
Maybe, like I say, it's not in the way we would like it to, or whatnot, but I still believe that they understand what they've got in Kevin Owens. And what they've got in Kevin Owens is like someone who I always felt could be a great babyface, but they've probably got, I think, maybe they're arguing with the biggest heel in the company. That whole prize fighter gimmick, and then how great he is in the mic, and some of the stuff a guy of his size can do. I think they still realise how great Kevin Owens actually is.
What do you think, Darren? Do you think there's a heel turn in the works?
Yeah, as soon as I saw Owens saddling up with the New Day, it kind of reminded me of when Orton saddled up with Bray Wyatt.
Ah, yes.
And then obviously when Bray won the big title, Orton was the first one to snatch it off him. So, yeah, I think we've got that kind of vibe where he's going to saddle up with the New Day and then try and usurp Kofi as champion.
I think it's a rivalry, if it does go ahead, that has legs, because although you imagine they won't Freebird the world title, you can still feud with three men separately. You could have them have matches, say whenever Big E comes back from injury. I'm not sure how long he's out for. It could be quite some time, but I'd love to see Kevin Owens versus Big E at some point in the future. All three individuals of the New Day could have some excellent matches with Kevin Owens, so it could have legs. And Kevin Owens is really entertaining. He's really fun. You're always guaranteed a laugh. You've seen that in the last couple of weeks. But I'll always prefer the heel Kevin Owens.
Yeah, heel Kevin Owens is the best.
Yeah, definitely. One of my favourites. Like, there was a time where he was just my out-and-out favourite on all of WWE. And that's becoming Sami Zayn now, with his antics over in Monday Night Raw. He's excellent just now.
Yeah, he is. So, well, the one, this is the one, this is the one. Chad Gable.
Hi.
I think we all kind of sometimes get carried away and it's like, oh my god, if they push this guy, they could have etc. etc. I'm not even saying push him up towards the main title scene. Even if you have him, he for me could be a real solid, at worst, should be a real solid mid card kind of guy. Talent-wise, he's really, really good. He's in the ring, he's phenomenal, I think. I'm kind of glad. I know him and Rude had a thing going on, and I started to enjoy them. But I think as a singles guy, he could take it to a completely another level. I don't think Jason Jordan's coming back, or coming back anytime soon. I've not heard a single update in a long time. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. You know, I'd like to see them really push Chad Gable a little further up the ladder. Like I said, he's a kind of a diamond in the rough. I think he could be more than what I think he can do more and show more than what he's shown so far, and I think you can elevate him that little bit more.
Yeah, and I think moving to SmackDown will be really good for him, because there's people on that roster that he could have an absolutely amazing match with.
Definitely.
Yeah. There's a couple. See, the most alarming thing from both Monday and Tuesdays. So we've touched on Sanity. You've got Sasha and Bayley splitting up, seemingly. You have Liv Morgan as well. She's over on SmackDown, so she's away from the Riot Squad. You could argue the Riot Squad were just the job squad, because they just lost everything near enough when it mattered. It's a couple of tag teams, and that's Chad Gable as well. He's separated from Bobby Roode, and maybe it was an odd pairing, but just like what we usually see in WWE, the odd couples eventually work out. So that's a few tag teams and stables that have been just ripped apart in the space of two nights. Is that a good thing? Do you think they'll make new stables or tag teams? I don't know. It's a strange one.
Well, straight away they already did, with Asuka and Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
And then you've got the potential for Eric Young and Bobby Roode being the Team Canada tag team that they were in TNA as well, I suppose.
All right, yeah.
You would just kind of need to try and repackage, I suppose, Eric Young as well, but it shouldn't be difficult, because like I said, not many people probably realised he was even on the roster at this moment in time. Like you said, so they have repackaged a couple of the tag teams. Like I said, they broke up the Riot Squad, but they put Asuka and Kairi Sane together. And I think we can sit and argue and debate all day long. Should Asuka be higher up the ladder? Has she been used properly? I think the answers to those are yes, she should be higher up the ladder. And has she been used properly or like to her full potential? No. But she's still been in a lot of big spots, but I think she should have been treated that a little bit better. I like this spot. I do like this pair. And for me, people can argue and say what they want about Iconics holding it, but for me, them putting a couple of these teams together kind of show that they kind of want to take this tag division series, that at least they're putting Asuka and Kairi Sane in a relatively decent spot as well.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, the potential to always break them up is there is fine. And having Paige as a mouthpiece, that Paige can talk, and let's be honest, like, having someone, like, the English language is difficult to understand and to learn because of so many different variations of words as well. So it'll make their job that little bit easier as well, where Paige can be the mouthpiece and all they need to go out and do is just kick some ass. So I'm
kind of
excited to see that team.
Yeah, my personal belief is that women's tag titles are a big deal. I'm happy that they've done it. You're getting more women used, more women on TV. So I don't see it as a massive step down. It still is a step down from the singles title, obviously, but she's going to be prominent still going forward, so it's not the end of the world for Asuka from a personal point of view. Darren?
No, I agree. I think she just got, when she was SmackDown champion, and obviously we were going into the Ronda, Becky, Charlotte match, she was just lumbered with a title that literally was meant nothing at the time, because there were two people who were on SmackDown chasing the other brand's title. So there was no place for her to win in that. Now, obviously, she lost the title, and it's almost that she can almost refresh and restart with this tag team with Kairi. I think I would have preferred Kairi staying with Io, but it's almost like Vince sees these Japanese talents as almost interchangeable. So I think it's gonna be an interesting time for this fledgling women's tag title. I think the Iconics being champions was a good call. but yeah, it's definitely got legs as long as it's just given the chance to blossom.
Yeah, definitely. There is one more acquisition for SmackDown that is we've forgotten about, and I wonder if that's not on purpose, but an indication. But Apollo Crews also made his way over to Tuesday nights. Poor guy. You think there's going to be anything done for him going forward? No.
No. The only one thing is, what are your thoughts on Lars Sullivan?
Racist.
I never liked him in NXT. I'm not, you know, for me, he's, you know what's going to happen? They're going to have him come out strong and destroy everyone, but see 6 months down the line, they're still going to be pretending that he's some big monster, but he's going to be losing all the time.
So, aye, he'll just, yep, he is the next Braun Strowman, probably.
Oh, well, not even that, because Braun still picked up a lot of big wins and can, fine, I know he's not been treated well, I get it, but like I said, I think in 6 months time Lars Sullivan is going to be like an afterthought.
Yeah, there was a lot of concern from people about his mental health, but from what we're led to believe about his internet past, some choice remarks about people of different race and stuff, I'm not interested in him at all.
Yeah, I wasn't interested in him even before stuff like that. Aye, stuff came to light anyway.
Yeah, I think the mental health thing will definitely be something that holds him back. I don't see WWE trusting him with a major push if he can like disappear at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't see him like being in title contention in the near future. I think it's just going to be the, like you said, the Braun Strowman, where he'll come, wreck a few people, and then disappear.
Good.
Yeah. I read some of the posts he did on that. It was on a bodybuilding forum just before he like got signed for NXT, and he's got some pretty out there views, not just even racist, like very very sexist views as well.
Doesn't sound like a nice man, so no sympathy for me, no wish for him to do well. If he disappears, oh well, what a shame.
Plus he needs to shave his shoulders. Oof.
What's that?
Plus he needs to shave them shoulders.
Oh, definitely. Sure. I mean, yeah, definitely, definitely. So yeah, I think that's pretty much covered whatever we wanted to cover on the shake-up. So this is now part of a show done where we kind of hail our god Joe Coffey. So bear with us. But yeah, myself and Clive are going to the NXT UK taping, Glasgow tapings here. It's on Friday and Saturday. We're going to the Friday. We were really looking forward to it even before one or two matches were announced. But Walter versus Pete Dunne for the NXT UK title has been confirmed for the tapings. Now, there was no, like, I didn't see a tweet or a statement or anything. It was only in the promo video that Pete Dunne cut for it, where he says, on Friday, something like, I'll paraphrase, on Friday I'll take my title back.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it in just before we started recording, and yeah, I didn't even know about it. I thought you were talking about the NXT takeover match. So yeah, it's interesting that he's getting his rematch so soon. That to me says he's probably not sticking around on NXT UK for
probably
much longer.
Now, the
yeah, I think so.
The UK tapings.
Let's say so. Sorry, Clive, just to say, is it so? He mentioned it on Friday, so it must be, and let's say the fact that we were already so excited about it, this just takes it to another level. Cannot wait. I can't believe we're actually going to get to see this match live. I was there live watching, saw Pete Dunne and Joe Coffey down in Blackpool, and it was just, that entire experience was amazing. But I think this is going to be even better because it's Gallus's quote-unquote homecoming. It is literally going to be like when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn went to Canada and how Bret Hart went back to Canada. There's not going to be any booing up in the arena whatsoever on Friday or Saturday when they appear.
I'd be shocked if they did.
I would be as well. There's just going to be cheers, people crying, hugging.
That's just you and me.
Celtic songs getting sung. It's really looking forward to it. We're actually planning to meet up with a couple of our followers and listeners as well before it. So looking forward to that as well.
I think Darren might actually
just going
have
to be a great night.
I'm sure Darren has a Twitter beef with one of our meetups.
Oh no!
Freddie Russell, does that name ring a bell? Darren? Oh, he's muted or something.
I've muted him out there, apologies. Yeah, Freddie Russell, I love that kid. Absolutely think he's brilliant. That is a fully kayfabe bat, trust me.
Oh, you've just let the cat out of the bag there.
We're going to team up in the Omega Luke faction prediction contest, and we're going to whoop everyone. But yeah, it got a little bit heated, but yeah, we were both in on the gag.
I'd noticed that was quite heated. You gave Becky Lynch and Charlotte a run for their money there, I think.
Yeah, I thought I took it too far when I mentioned his one episode podcast. He messaged me literally straight away, and I'm like, oh no, I've gone a bit overboard here. I thought, I'm going to have to apologise here. And he's like, oh my god, that was amazing quality. So yeah, he's a fun lad. I absolutely think he's superb.
We're also meeting up with Muzza as well. Listens to a lot of the Social Suplex stuff, so it'll be good to catch up with those guys. But there's still a part of me that doesn't believe we're getting Dunne versus Walter on Friday night. That's the night that we're going.
And as long as we get Joe Coffey making an appearance, it's fine. Money's worth right there.
If he just stands there in the middle of the ring for 3-4 hours, I'd be happy.
I will just serenade him.
I still need to think of the Joe Coffey prayer. I've not done it yet. I've not recited it fully.
I don't, Dan, have you got anything else maybe you want to speak about before we move on to the quiz? Have you got anything you want to say?
Just absolutely hope you have the best time. There's no like live wrestling. It's almost like a party, especially nowadays. The crowds are so rabid. I mean, you can go to, we get events here of like absolute no mark wrestling, in the smallest little venues. I mean, you might have heard of like Cole Municipal Hall, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rabid. It's absolutely rabid. Yeah. And yeah, I love live wrestling.
It will be really interesting to see your tapings, because usually if it's like a Raw, obviously, in the SEC, or the Hydro, or going to an ICW event, it's usually just they're a version of a pay-per-view, so seeing the actual tapings, we'll miss the backstage segments that are probably recorded after it, all the adverts, so it'll be interesting to see if they're able to keep the engagement going throughout.
Yeah, because I would assume they'll take a few weeks worth of stuff in one go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because Friday, Saturday, so the way I think they'll probably do is it'll be 4 weeks worth of shows, so 2 hours each night roundabout, or maybe not even as long as 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half each night. either way, look forward to it. I think we've got pretty good seats as well. I think we're on the hard cam side about 6 or 7 rows back, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep an eye out for that big Joe Coffey face in the crowd. It'll just be us.
Aye, the big faces that you get in the. I'll wear the Ricky and Clive t-shirt, as did our friend of the show, Cathy 67, in the SmackDown crowd, representing in Montreal.
Yeah, we love her, man. We love her. Yeah. She's awesome, she really is. She sent us a photo as well of her wearing it outside the venue. She's awesome. Right, so quiz time.
Excellent.
It's fucking quiz time with Ricky and Clive and friends. A fucking WWE quiz.
So Darren, you know the rules. Everyone has their own buzzer. So have you chosen your buzzer?
I've not chosen my buzzer, but I will say the big dog.
There we go.
I've not used it because I'm absolutely terrible at quizzes.
Well, don't say that, because you're part of the invitation.
We're getting you back on a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, that's going to be a walkover for Rob, definitely.
Mr. Rab Ropes.
Rab Ropes.
Although Rob doesn't feel too confident about it either.
Aye.
Yeah, he wants to bloody admit to back to that Google sheet, because I haven't been able to look at it for about 3 weeks.
I've
not either.
That Google
Doc. I'm looking at it right now and I can't see it.
There's a ghost in the machine with that Google Doc.
Caleb done something with it.
Trust him.
Right, Caleb broke it. Cheers, Caleb. Well done. Right, anyway. So, here we go. Clive, you want to remind the listeners of your buzzer?
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Okay, here we go.
Is there a theme for the quiz at all?
I initially started off trying to do superstar shake-up and drafts and stuff. I got 3 questions into it and I just couldn't come up with any more proper questions, so I just then after that is random questions, so no, there isn't.
Okay.
Question number one. In the 2016 draft, who were the first and second picks for SmackDown?
Oh, it's true, it's damn true.
Yep.
Dean Ambrose and Becky Lynch.
You got one right.
The big dog, I'll go with Dean Ambrose and The Miz.
So he's both got the one right. So he's both got Dean Ambrose right. And the other one was AJ.
I was going to say AJ and The Miz. Oh, Jesus.
Dean was the first pick. Right. Question number two. Same draft. Charlotte was the first female picked, but who was the second? Just in the draft.
What was the question again?
So in the same draft, 2016... Charlotte was the first female wrestler picked, but who was the second female wrestler picked?
The big dog. I'll go with Naomi.
Good choice.
That's incorrect.
Oh, well, not that good a choice. okay. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Yep.
Charlotte was the first pick. 2016, which is when Sasha was hot, white hot, so Sasha Banks.
Correct.
This is what I'm no good at recalling stuff like this at all.
This is practice for you.
Question number three. Again, same draft. Who was the US champion at the time who was drafted to Raw?
Oh, goodness sake.
The big dog, Kevin Owens.
Incorrect.
2016 Raw. They took the US title with them.
Yep.
I'll just have to take a guess because I've not got a clue about this one. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Yep.
Miz?
That is incorrect.
Oh dear.
Miz held other title.
Yeah, I see.
Yep. So I'll give you a clue.
And we're all back in.
Yeah. If you know me, you should know the answer to this question. Now that really narrows it down to like just a few people. I am a massive mark for this person.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true. Is it you?
Yep.
Oh, it's true.
It was not me.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true. Rusev.
Right.
He went to Raw.
Yep.
I can't remember.
Here we go. So it's 2-0-5.
Oh, because...
Question? No.
Right, okay. Because 2016, they were on both shows, weren't they? That was right. Okay.
Question number 4. At ECW One Night Stand in 2006, who did Rey Mysterio face for the World Heavyweight Championship?
Oh, Christ.
And it ended in a... I think it was like a no contest. So ECW One Night Stand 06.
Oh, it's true, it's damn true.
Yep.
That was that horrifically violent Sabu match.
It was, correct.
That was insane, that match. I'm glad that stopped, because that was going to get... That was going to escalate very quickly.
That was the same year it was RVD and Cena.
Was that the same night? Oh, yes, it was.
Certainly was the same night.
Aye, Mysterio was the world champ in 06.
That was insane, that match. I remember where Cena continually kept throwing his T-shirt in the crowd and he kept throwing it back at him.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he just kind of gave up and just left it at the side of the ring. Right. Question number 5. John Cena defeated Batista in an I Quit match at which pay-per-view? You can give me the year if you wish. In fact, I'll give you the year. It was 2010. So at which pay-per-view? This pay-per-view is no longer in existence.
I have not a clue at all.
Vengeance. The big dogs are in Vengeance.
That's not correct.
Oh, I just need to take a stab in the dark. Oh, it's true, it's damn true.
Yep.
Armageddon?
No. Nope. I'll give you a clue. Let me see. Say maybe you're driving your car and you're stopped by the police and they pull you over maybe because you had too much alcohol and you are therefore...
Pissed.
Well, a more sophisticated way of it. So you blow into the breathalyzer and you are
the big dog over the limit.
Oh, well done. I would not have got that at all. Pissed was a better answer though.
Question number 6. What was the name of a tag team? Sorry, Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston were known as what? What was the name of their tag team?
The Big Dog?
Yep.
Oh, I don't know if I've got it right now, but Airborne.
Oh.
Really? I thought that was it.
I need to double check it, because I... so I'm going to give you the... I'll give you the point. I thought it was Air Boom. Let me check.
Was that not their finishing move? You can have the point, because that's what I thought it was.
I'm sure it was Air Boom.
Well...
No, I'll give Dan the point anyway. So, it's currently... 3-2 to Clive.
Oh, it's close.
In Vengeance 2011,
oh, Christ.
What was the Divas title match?
Fuck's sake.
So I'll give you the clue for one of the women. She just recently made her return at WrestleMania.
Okay.
That's pretty obvious. just made a return in the tag title match at WrestleMania.
Yep.
The big dog.
Yep.
F. Phoenix versus Michelle McCool.
It's incorrect.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true. Beth Phoenix versus Kelly Kelly.
It's also incorrect.
Pure guesswork.
Right, let me see what will I give you. What clue will I give you? She was in the 2007 Diva Search.
Right.
The big dog, is it?
Yep.
It's Ashley Massaro.
Nope.
Oh.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true. This is the only diva I can think of from the Search. Christy Hemme?
Nope.
Right. Put us out of our misery.
Eve Torres.
Well, I wouldn't have got that.
she won it. I just didn't want to say she'd win it. Right. Question number 8. Who were the final two participants in the 2009 Royal Rumble?
09. Oh, shit. I know one of them.
Was it the winner?
I'm,
you know?
I know who the winner was. I'll stab in the dark. Oh, it's true, it's damn true.
Yep.
Oh, I can't speak. Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes.
You got one of them, right?
So it's going to be Randy Orton then? Like, Jesus Christ.
I don't think he can help us.
That was my guess.
Well, God has wrestled, so...
The big dog, I'll go with Randy Orton and Ted DiBiase Jr.
It's incorrect. So I'll just give you the answer because it's too obvious, I think, if I try to give you a clue. And this way I get to take it down to my last question. Randy Orton and Triple H. Triple H put out DiBiase and Cody Rhodes. And I think it was Cody Rhodes, as he eliminated him, Randy Orton came running behind and eliminated Triple H straight away. So there were the last two participants for like a split second.
So that must mean Triple H won the title going into WrestleMania then?
I think it must have, I can't really remember.
I can't remember at all.
Here we go. Vince McMahon defeated The Undertaker in a Buried Alive match at which pay-per-view? And how did it end? Please don't say by one of them being buried alive.
Oh, it's true, it's damn true.
Yep.
I remember that match vividly because blood was pooling, absolutely pooling from Vince's head. Undertaker was about to bury him, but Kane came out of the cherry picker. There was an explosion at the cherry picker thing, the big JCB. Undertaker fell into the empty grave. Kane dropped the shovel, whatever you want to call it, with all the dirt onto Undertaker.
Which pay-per-view was it?
Oh, sorry, Survivor Series 2003.
Correct. Right. Here we go. So, currently Clive is up by 2. But this last question is worth 5 points.
I can smell a fix coming on.
So can I.
I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this.
What is Darren's favourite wrestler?
What t-shirt is Darren currently wearing?
From 2015 to 2019, so starting at 2015 up until 2019, Name the last five WrestleMania destinations. Which city have they taken place in? So you don't have, you can give me the city or you can give me the state.
What was it from 2015
to this year?
Pen. Just grab a pen.
So do you want us to text you?
I would use to
write it down and then
just write it down and put it up with the camera once you've got your final.
Okay, if you give me a wee moment till I get myself a wee pen and paper, feel free to serenade the listeners, Ricky, with some tunes while I disappear.
I'm sure the listeners are sick and fed up of hearing my voice at the moment, but what I may as well do right now then is, folks, you can get your very own Ricky and Clive wrestling t-shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees. You can also get Keeping It Strong Style. You can also get One Nation Radio. And you can also get the Social Suplex Podcast Network t-shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees. You get if you sign up with powerslam.tv and enter the promo code Social Suplex, you'll get access, and the first month will be free for over 4,000 hours of independent wrestling from across the world. So that's powerslam.tv with a promo code Social Suplex. Please check out the other podcasts on the network. Keeping It Strong Style with Jeremy and Josh, aka J&J Security. One Nation Radio with Richard and James. We also have NXT Then Now and Forever with James, and we also have All Things Elite. Please subscribe. Check out the other podcast, check out the calls that we have. Please follow us, Ricky and Clive, on Twitter, follow Social Suplex on Twitter, and feel free to join in on the Facebook, Social Suplex's Facebook group known as the Wrestling Squared Circle.
Oh, I'm really.
I've done my plugs.
I'm really struggling with 2017. I'm not looking at the screen just now. I know Darren's got his up ready. He's ready and ready to go.
I'm confident about two of them. So
right, I'm trying to. Right. First of all, that bit's wrong. Right. Come on. What was that year? How long are you giving us, Ricky?
I'm giving you another 15 seconds.
Shit. One. San Antonio.
Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, six, sept, huit, neuf, dos,
eight.
I'm thinking of the Urdu one. 11, 12, 13. Hurry up. Right, time's up.
Fuck's
right,
sake.
Here we go. Here we go. So we're starting at 2015.
Right. Pen's down. What have you got?
I didn't put mine in order. I just put any five. So I'm going to go with 2015. I'm Toronto.
Clive?
I've got San Jose.
Oh, you made a mistake, Clive.
Oh,
you're both wrong. It was Santa Clara.
Oh, Christ.
I said you should have just put the state down.
I still don't know the state for the third one.
Right, next one, 2016. This is the one where our friend went to, Clive.
Yep.
I've gone with Chicago.
Clive.
Dallas.
Dallas, but I'll give you it.
Was it Houston?
It was Arlington, which is just right outside Dallas, but same thing.
Oh.
2017?
I don't know. Fucking Birmingham?
Yeah.
I've gone with LA.
Orlando.
Really?
Orlando.
2018.
New Orleans.
Yeah. Live. New Orleans. I was trying to think of the takeovers and...
This year, New York.
Yep.
New York.
Slash New Jersey.
Five. Win the quiz tonight. He's a winner by 3 points tonight. Congratulations, Clive.
Thank you. And
you expect you to let our guest go over, but nope.
He's the Brock Lesnar of the show.
Now, how very dare you?
So, before we get out of here, do you want to say, Dan, thanks for coming on. We really do appreciate it.
Not a problem. I absolutely loved it. I'm glad I could be on.
Yes, you broke your Ricky and Clive cherry.
And we're going to get you back on in a couple of weeks' time with Rob to do the quiz. But see, before we go, you can feel free to plug your stuff, your show, where people can find you on Twitter, etc. Floor is yours.
Thank you. I am like the EastEnders of podcasting. I'm on near enough every day. I've got a podcast called Why We Watch, where I talk to content creators about why they enjoy wrestling. And I've got a podcast called Five Rounds that I do with my son when we go over UFC events. They can both be found on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Then I've got a new podcast called Badlands that started a couple of weeks ago, where we discuss the Mount Rushmores of wrestling. Not just obviously the classic one with wrestlers, but we cover different topics every week. So one week we might cover title belt Mount Rushmore, the next week we might cover the Mount Rushmore of 80s hairstyles. So yeah, that can be found on Brainbuster Radio. You can find me personally on Twitter at DAJ Kirby, or you just search for Mags. Yeah, that's me in a nutshell. Gone from 0 to 60 on the podcast scene in about 2 months.
You've got your fingers in more pies than the judges on Great British Bake Off.
Oh, I haven't got a soggy bottom.
Hey! It's funny that we both laugh because we know what that means.
And half the listeners are going to be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've just done all the plugs. Continue supporting the brand, the podcast. Shout out to the people who are going to NXT UK on Friday and Saturday. Looking forward to meeting up with the guys. And before we get out of here, Clive, you want to do your thing?
Yeah, I've got some breaking news. Texas Tornado, Gorilla Monsoon, Tony and Lance Storm, Hurricane Helms, and Luther and Roman Reigns all walked into a bar, and the bar was decimated in an instant.
That was terrible. terrible. Right, folks, thanks for listening. And we'll be seeing you next week, hopefully.
Yeah, next week's going to be the quiz between the Golden Lovers of the Outsider's Edge, Rance and Kyle. That was a good recording, that one, so that'll be up for you maybe a wee bit earlier on Wednesday. Look, check it out.
Yep. Take care, folks.
Thank you for listening to the Ricky and Clive Wrestling Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.